Tonight we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, probably one of the most heard or well-known chapters out of Ecclesiastes, but I think sometimes it's taken just, you know, out of context for one because of where Solomon's at. But let's go to the Lord and ask a blessing on His Word. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for this time again to open Your Word. And Lord, when we see sometimes how it just don't really know how it's going to fit, how does it apply, but we know that Your Spirit can show us. And so we pray for that tonight, that You would show us and teach us, that You would be glorified, and it would be about You. In Your name we pray. Amen. A time for everything, there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. This is one of those that probably a lot of people didn't read, didn't think about, didn't hear about until the movie Footloose came up. And then Footloose, I don't know where these things are coming from, sorry guys. But it's that idea of people want to say, well, you know, there's a reason for this, there's a time for this. And it's true, it's in God's Word, there is. But Solomon, we need to go back to why he's writing this. Remember, he is at a point, either at a point in his life, and I believe he is. Some want to say he's past that point and he's looking back. But either way, he has come to a point and he's looking at things and he's seeing that apart from God, under the sun, everything is meaningless. And this is a man that has everything. In chapter 2, he set out to do an investigation just merely on his wisdom and on the things that he could attain and the pleasure that he could seek. And everything came back like a man grasping for the wind. You're going to get nothing out of it. And so that was his mentality of looking for things because he had attained so much in his life. God was the one that gave him all those things, but he's looking at everything that he had, and he's saying, all that I have, and I can't find fulfillment in it. And so now we're going to go into chapter 3, and he's still got that same mindset. He's still saying, nothing makes sense apart from God. So let's go into these first 8 verses here because they all go together. Verse 2, it says, a time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now as we look at those, there are 28 activities that it speaks of there, 14 being positive, 14 being negative. And the idea is everything is set up on a time frame that God has programmed. That's what Solomon is thinking here. He's got that idea, that understanding of everything in life. The first couple or people, it starts with birth, it's going to end in death. And then it's talking about plants. You plant something, but then there's also the opposite, the time to pull the weeds, a time to pick up. And he's going to go through a time to kill and a time to heal. Well, that's talking about war. There's a time for war and there's a time to heal, that time of peace. A time to break down, a time to tear down the old, and a time to build up something new as far as like construction. A time of emotions, to weep and to laugh and to mourn and to dance and all those things. But when you have a time that you're going to laugh, don't forget you're going to have the same amount of time to mourn. And if you're going to, you know, if you're going to weep, you're going to laugh. And if you're going to laugh, you're going to weep. And they balance each other out is basically what he's saying here. If you take the 14 positives and you pick out the ones that you want to do, whether, you know, it's the healing or it's the building up or it's the laughing or it's the dancing, and you take all 14 of those and then you subtract the other 14 that you don't want to do, where are you at? You're right where you started. And that's what Solomon is saying. All these cycles of life, and he's looking at this again without the perspective of God, under the sun, the things of this earth, there's nothing new under the sun. He's already talked about that. And what he's saying is, it's really going to benefit nothing, because if you have some good times, you're going to have just as many bad times. So don't get focused on the good times, and all these times are going to balance out. So he has this terrible negative attitude, because he's saying, apart from God, there is nothing. Apart from God, there is nothing. You're going to have all of these things. These things are all the cycles of life. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, that's actually referring to war. It's what you would do is you would go into the enemy's field and you would cast rocks into the field so that they couldn't grow and plant. And then when it was a time of peace, you would go to your own property and you'd pick up rocks so that you could plant better. And so it was talking about war and peace, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose. There are always going to be those opposites that are out there. When you find something you enjoy, there's always going to be the opposite. To keep and to throw away and to tear and to sow. The sowing goes back to when they would rip their clothes in mourning. Then when you were no longer mourning, then you would sew your clothes back together. Time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. All of these are what Solomon is seeing, that all these things happen to everybody. There is sorrow, there's pleasure, there's things you look forward to, there's things you don't like on this list. And all of them are events that are determined and are inevitable by God. But yet man does not look at them. A person apart from God looks at these things and sees that, well, you know, everything's going to happen. I'm going to be born, and then I'm going to eventually die. And everything that happens in between, there's a purpose, but it gains me nothing. Because it all comes down to that, a time to die, when it really... Everything that I've done, all the things that, whether I've gathered stones or I've danced or I've laughed or I've built or I've plucked up or I've planted, when that time to die comes, none of that matters apart from God. And so Solomon is in this attitude that's very depressed, very depressing as he's looking at these things, because these are the cycles of life that are going to always happen. And that's where man is at. So let's go on into 9, and he's going to go into that. He says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? So in other words, the man that goes through all of these things that we just talked about, what does he really profit? He said, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. In other words, God has set up all of those things to happen. What's the purpose of those things? Solomon can't find a purpose under the sun. Apart from God, he can't find a purpose. But he can see in verse 10 that God, they are a God-given task. God has given all of us that desire, that need to work, whether it's to plant or to pluck up, whether it's to weep or to laugh. These are things that are part of our life that God has given us. Why has he given us these things? Solomon is trying to point this out, trying to figure it out. And apart from God, there is no reason for any of these things that he can come up with. And so he's going to get into that. He says, but God has given us these tasks, that men are to be occupied with these tasks on the earth. Okay? What's the point? Verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So all these things that he has, that God has created, they have a purpose in their proper time. Whether it's war, whether it's peace, whether it's gathering, whether it's embracing, all of these things, God has made a perfect time for each of them. There are those times when you just need a smile, or you just need a hug, or you just need to be left alone. There are those times. And if it's that time when you're sitting alone watching a sunset or a sunrise and you don't want anybody around, and it's perfect. That's exactly what you needed at that time. God sets up the things that we face in this life. They're there for a purpose, but what is it? Solomon's looking. So he says all these things are perfect in their time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, in the hearts of men, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. In other words, God has set eternity in man's heart. What that means is God has put in man's heart that there's something else out there that matters. But it says that man can't find it. I love that verse. It says, he's put eternity in their hearts except that no one can find out. What's the purpose that God has set in place from beginning to the end apart from God? We need to always throw that statement in there, because Solomon is looking at this from a total earthly perspective. And he knows that God has put something inside us. And you can talk about native tribes that are nowhere around any type of a teaching of a faith. But they always, if you stole this guy's chicken, they cut your hand off. Because somebody had told them that wasn't right. And they would worship a sun god, or they would worship a rain god, or the god of the sea. They knew that there was something out there that was bigger than them. There was something that was in control. And so God has put that in our inner being, in our hearts, in our core, that there's something out there. Romans tells us we're without excuse because he has made it clear in his creation that he is there. But then that statement, Solomon says, except we can't figure it out. No man can find out what this is apart from God. What's the purpose, God, that you've done all these things? We know you're there, but we can't figure out why. We don't understand why you do the things you do apart from God, the work that God does. And so he goes on in verse 12, and he says, for I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is a gift of God. So he's beginning to mention God a little bit more in here in this verse, these last couple verses. And so he says, Solomon has figured this out. It's better for them to rejoice and do good in their lives. He's saying that God wants you to enjoy life. Apart from God, all you have is to enjoy life. We talked about this in men's Bible study tonight. You know, a person that doesn't believe in Christ, we have a hope in eternity. As a Christian, I have hope in Jesus Christ. That person that's lost, their only hope is that this world is all there is. Because if they're wrong, they're in trouble. And so their hope, what they're going to be able to find fulfillment in, is just this life. And Solomon is looking at this like they're just under the sun, just on earthly terms. If that's all you've got, it'd be better for you to just rejoice and enjoy the things of this life, the good things of this life. Just enjoy them, because it's better to do that. And also, every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor, because it's a gift from God. So even though it's that person that has nothing to do with God, their focus is all under the sun, God has still blessed them with the good things of this life, because they are a gift from God. All of the things. Why would God give the gifts and the blessings to people that are not going to acknowledge Him? Well, the reason those blessings are there is to point you to the Creator of those blessings. Solomon is just looking at the blessings. He's just talking about the blessings. He said, hey, just enjoy life. It's better to enjoy life and just the fruits of your labor, enjoy them while they're here, because it's a gift from God. So he begins to tie God in just a little bit. But he's still looking at this from an earthly perspective here. Yes, he knows God. Yes, he has the wisdom given by God. But in his understanding of what he's doing in Ecclesiastes is trying to see if there's anything under the sun that can fulfill. And there's not. But he knows that the things that are good, that are in this cycle of things, these 28 things, the things that are good, they are a gift from God. And so you should enjoy them. 14, it says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which has already been, and what is to be, has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Now, there's different translations on this passage here, but Solomon, it seems like he's kind of coming around a little bit here. He's beginning to say that, you know, there's two understandings here. God, in everything he does, it's going to last forever. This cycle of things that God has put us through that are going to go through, people are going to be born, people are going to die. More people are going to be born, more people are going to die. You know, you're planning, all those things that he talked about. But what God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. There's nothing man can add to what God has done. So in talking about all the things from an earthly viewpoint, now he's saying when you factor in God, what God does is forever. What man does, he's been telling us, it doesn't last. Nothing man can do can last. Man is eventually, whether fool or wise, is going to eventually die. And nobody's going to remember them. But what God does, it shall be forever. Man can't add to it. Man can't take away from it. What God does is forever. God does it that man should fear before him. So what God does is he sets all these things in order so that it would point man to God. That's the purpose of this. And Solomon is beginning to say, when you look for everything under the sun to try to fulfill you, it's not going to last. The only thing that lasts is what God does. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. And God sets that before you, his power, so that you would fear him, so that you would recognize who he is, recognize that you can't do anything that's going to last. And the only thing that's going to last is what God does. And so God has not only set everything in order and everything is forever, God knows beforehand. God knows what's going to hit. At everything that's already been, God knew it. That which what is going to happen has already been. God requires an account of what is past. God's keeping a record. Everything he's done, he's got a record of it. And God, it requires an account of what is past. Most of the commentaries take this back to God requires an account for sin of the past. God requires an account for judgment that will come. And so, he's finally getting around to telling in his book here that, okay, it is about God. It's not about us. And so he goes back again. Verse 16, Injustice Seems to Prevail is the title in my Bible. It says, Moreover, I saw under the sun, when he did his investigation, in the place of judgment, wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. When God looked down on a place that, you know, where there should be judgment. When Solomon looked in his investigation, well, this should, in a situation where these people are doing this, there should have been judgment. But wickedness prevailed in the courts. In a place where people should have been doing right, there was iniquity. And so I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. So it ties us back into verses 2 through 8, where he says there's a time for everything under the sun, and man understands that, and God has everything set up, and there's going to require an account, because God is going to judge the righteous and the wicked. A lot of times Christians don't want to look at that first part, but where does it start? It doesn't start, doesn't say God shall judge the wicked and then the righteous. He's going to judge the righteous and the wicked. And there's a time for it. The same way that there's a time for all of these things that God has set under the sun, there is a time for the judgment that is coming, for that purpose of every work. So he goes into 18, he says, I said in my heart concerning the conditions of the sons of men, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. Now there are people that take this passage here and they go way off the deep end and they want to talk about the fact that, well, maybe Solomon is advocating for no life after death, but that's not what he's doing. Well, maybe he's talking about the fact that animals and humans are equals, and some, you know, want to take that and run with it, but that's not what he's doing. He's saying that God puts us to a test. Well, what is that test? It doesn't actually say here, but when you look it up, it's the understanding that God gives you a test to see that concerning the conditions of the Son of Man, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. It's not, the only way is that when an animal is born, what's going to eventually happen? It's going to die. And when a man is born, what's going to eventually happen if God doesn't come back is that they're going to die. And so that's how he's saying he wants the test is to see that life down here is nothing, any different than an animal. Now, he's not saying animals are equal to God. He's not, or to man. He's not saying that men and animals are the same. He's saying that if you have life down here and that's all you have is life under the sun, then you are no different than an animal that's born, eventually dies. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they have all one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. So he's not saying that animals have a spirit that's going to, you know, to be in heaven. That's, some people want to take that passage and say, well, see here, animals are just like us. They're going to the same place. We've got to remember that Solomon is talking from an earthly perspective that just is there for us to see that if you take God out of the equation, you're no different than an animal. Because when an animal dies, it's going to return to dust. A man apart from God dies, returns to dust. That's what he's talking about. So it says, all go to one place and all are from the dust and return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward to the, excuse me, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth. People want to say, oh, well, then what does that mean? The spirit of, he's not talking about the afterlife of animals. He's not even talking about the afterlife of humans. He's talking about apart from God, there is no difference. 22 says, so I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. That's his lot. God has given you life. And remember, he's at this time, he's not trying to be an advocate for God. He's not trying to lead people to the Lord. He's just setting out and saying, I can't find anything in life that really matters because all he's looking for is something to fulfill himself apart from God. And so as he does that, he's saying, there's nothing out there, so I perceive that nothing is better, that I should just enjoy my works. I should just rejoice in life because tomorrow you die. Apart from God, that's all there is. He said, and that is his heritage, or that is his lot. That is the time that God has given you. What are you going to do with it? If all you do is focus on what God has given you, then that's all you've got. That's the lot that you have. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? In other words, what man can see what's going to happen after he dies? Nobody. So he's saying, if all you have in this chapter, in this cycle of life, of all the good and all the bad, when it comes down to it, at the end, in this last verse, you're going to die. And who can bring him to see what will happen after that? If all you're focused on is what's going on in this life, then when you die, what do you have? That's what this chapter is about. That's what this passage is about. All of these things, a time to gain all of those things. Solomon is saying there, that's the cycle of life. God has put it there, and you can enjoy it, but you need to understand it's a gift from him. Solomon even says that. But he wants you to understand that what God does is forever. And you can't alter it in the sense of you can't add to it or take away from it. But you will be accountable for what you do with it. Okay? It's a shorter chapter. But it's one of those that I believe that as Solomon is saying these things, he's talking about life. And we see people living this every single day. That all they look for is to eat, drink, and enjoy life because that's all that matters. And if that's the case, if that's their thought, if that's their idea of life and they seek fulfillment in those things, then they are no different than animals. And how sad is that? That's all they've got to look forward to is from dust to dust. When that doesn't have to be the case. And Solomon, in all of his wisdom, seeks that. Seeks to try to understand. But at this point, when he's going through this investigation, he doesn't understand. This is one of the most depressing, I think, chapters in here. If there's going to be more, it gets really depressing towards the end. Because he's taking God out of the equation. But every now and then he will throw in the fact that God is in control and God is the one that gifts us and God is the one that blesses us and God is eternal. But you know, I'm looking other places too, and that's where the world is at. The world is looking for other things too. Why are they looking for other things too? As I think about that, I think it's probably our fault. Now, yes, we know that God created them. God created us to go through all this cycle of things, and that's a part of our life. And God says there that the sons of men are to be occupied with these things. We all have to go through these things. But when they see me as a Christian, and I'm supposed to be following God, I'm worshiping God, and God is my Creator and my Savior and my Lord, my Redeemer, and then they see me take and split things to where these are a lot of my desires, and they don't line up with those other things. They don't line up with the things that you preach and the things that you teach and the things that you believe. So if you're going to do that, then why should I look for anything else? Why should I not just rejoice, eat, drink, and enjoy life? Because we're all going to return to dust. But if we live our life showing that this is not the truth in what happens, yes, we go through those things, but that's not what it's all about. We go through the situations those 28 things. And they add up, 14 good minus 14 bad is zero. That's where Solomon sees it. But for us, we have to understand that there is more than what's under the sun. We have to live more than what's under the sun so that those other people who are living to be fulfilled by what's under the sun will see that there's more. Because if this is all you look for, if all I look for is with my blinders on, is like Solomon is here, if all I do is look for these things, then that's all I'm going to see. But if I come alongside somebody and they're living for more than what's just under the sun, then I might start to look for what's more than under the sun. That's our responsibility from this passage, is to see that we know there's more, but like Solomon, a very wise man, the wisest man, this is what he's looking for. It's the people out there that are wise, and they're looking for those things because they've got blinders on. We need to live in such a way that they're able to see there's more than what's just under the sun. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just thank you for the blessings of it. Lord, we just pray for an understanding that how we apply this to our lives, how we seek to live in front of people. Lord, that we see the gift you have given us. We see the power that you have, and we live through that power. Lord, that you would equip us, you would lead us, you would guide us to be the witnesses for you that you desire. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that opportunity. And we pray that you watch over us and bless us and help us to understand the responsibility that you set before us. In your name we pray. Amen.